Hey, it's me, Maria Vasquez Boyd. Good morning. Take that back. Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in every Wednesday, noon to 1, and we have an action-packed hour for you today, as usual, because there's so much happening in this creative community in Little Old Kansas City. So this morning, this afternoon, we have Anthony Rea, David Steele, Joy Baker, Nicole Emanuel, and Angie. Angie, I did not get a pronunciation on your name, but we'll get that. Hejduk.
Hi-duk.
Say again?
Hejduk.
There you go. She's going to be here in the studio talking with us in the second half of the program. Always something exciting here at ArtSpeak Radio. So, again, thank you for making this a priority. I want to introduce you to Anthony Rea. He's been here on the program before. He is he's the Cultural Arts Center at director at the Matty Rhodes Art Center, and that is at the Art Gallery at 919 West 17th Street. He's going to talk about the holiday print and art market that's happening this weekend. You know, it's always great to support our local businesses and artists here right in the city. Right, Anthony?
Definitely. I'm actually the coordinator.
I kind of gave you an upgrade, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I don't know how much my boss will appreciate that one, but definitely.
Sorry,
but I am the cultural arts coordinator at Matty Rhodes.
Beautiful.
But yeah, the holiday art market is actually this Saturday, December 17th, from 12 to 6 p.m. during our regular gallery hours. And really, what we wanted to do, it's really kind of in conjunction with our California Winter Exhibition, which featured 11 Latinx, Chicanx, and Central Valley artists who are now based in Kansas City, who all graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute and now have made Kansas City their home. So really an amazing collection of those artists, and some of them will be there as well this
Beautiful.
Weekend, selling the prints and so forth.
Yeah, because unfortunately I did miss that opening reception because I was sick, and it opened December 2nd and goes through January 21st. And again, it's a group of artists, illustrators, installation artists, and printmakers that have constructed their careers and lives post-graduation from the Art Institute here in Kansas City, so we're happy to have them, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's an amazing collection of work and imagery that they've collected. It was an opportunity for them to kind of put this together for themselves. We stepped away from that curating, and their lead artist, Eric Felix, who just recently graduated from the Art Institute, is the one who kind of gathered the rest of the artists as well. And so you'll see artists, like I said, Eric Felix, Nick Ortega, Coco Rico, Baldomar Rivas, Carrie, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, give me a second, I want to name all of them.
Well, and I didn't have a list, a complete list, but...
who else? I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Salvador Carrasco Jr., Matthew Garcia, Audrey Luna, Mel Moscoso, Jason Oliver, Callie Bryan, and Kyle, I can never pronounce his last name, Sariasak. Who are all of the 11 artists that are exhibiting right now. And about 5 or 6 of them will be present this Saturday, with additional Matty Rhodes Art Gallery gift shop artists as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some work, and then we'll pull some special works out to kind of from behind the counter for people to see and pick up and purchase.
Beautiful. So that's at the Matty Rhodes Art Gallery at 919 West 17th Street, Saturday, December 17th, from noon to 6 o'clock. And the website?
Well, Matty Rhodes Center is www.mattyrhodes, MattyRhodes.org. And you can find us through our Facebook page or Instagram. We love our Instagram.
Well, yeah, you're very socially mediated.
We're trying to be socially
mediated.
Connected, yes.
So small prints and other artworks will be available for sale. And You know, it's just a terrific opportunity not only to shop local and with artists, but you get to meet the artists, some of the artists as well. So, and then you're going to be serving some snacks.
I will be picking up some pan dulce, and then I will be making some coffee, and I'll add a little cinnamon to it to make it all really culturally specific.
No chicharrones.
No chicharrones. just coffee and bread, sweet bread.
So, what other sort of artworks will we see besides the prints? Is it the other local artists aside from the California?
You'll see work by a really amazing sculptor, Sharon Visker, who's awesome, who's created really amazing pieces for us, necklaces and brooches and some really awesome stuff. She's a sculptor with Hallmark. We also see the work of Angie Rossetti, some T-shirts by... produced by The Bite, I believe. They're Echo in Kansas City t-shirts, which are really fun.
Yeah, those are fun.
You'll also be able to pick up some works by James Jukes. And things like that, you know. So, and then we just kind of got a nice little refresher from Mexico with some beautiful, beautifully hand-painted ceramic skulls, quite glossy, quite shiny, and really great stuff.
So should I get a sneak preview?
I think you should come and bring a check, or a debit card.
Well, you remember the last time I wrote a check.
You know, and But,
but yeah. Poor Anthony, he's trying to get over this cred that that's going around, I guess. But so this is going to be fun, a holiday print and art market, and that's actually going to be at the Mariposa Gift Shop, which is in the gallery.
Yes.
And a wide selection of gift shop or of items and art, and you know, get to meet the artists and have some coffee and
Yeah, definitely. Please come by. There's some really amazing pieces there. I can't talk enough about our local artists who have some really great works. Fabric pieces, aprons, beautiful aprons. If you want to cook and look cute at the same time, please.
No, I just want to look cute. I don't want to cook.
You can look cute and, you know, the apron's kind of nice. I have to fully admit. Angie Rossetti does these really, creates these really amazing aprons.
But you know what? I think it speaks volumes for Mary Rhodes that is hosting this and had the opening reception, the exhibition of the California Winter of the artists that weren't born and raised here. I think that speaks volumes of Mary Rhodes that not only nurtures and sort of cultivate those new emerging artists, but it also speaks well of Kansas City because we are really culturally on the map.
Definitely.
You know, the arts, performance, music. So I think it speaks well.
I mean, that's in the mission and has been for quite some time, 18 plus years.
Yeah.
And it was just important for us to we met the artists, but then really to celebrate and hear that story. That the artists all came from the same community college in California.
And that's
they were all kind of pushed out this way and to finish their degrees, and they all decided to stay and have really fell in love with the city and really are committed to the city and the arts community here that they are a part of.
Yeah, we're really, really grateful to have them in the community. And just on a flip side, I want to talk to you just ever so briefly about the project that you're working on that you ended up with a rocket grant for. How's that come along? Because last time you were here, you talked about that. So just kind of give us an update if you will.
Yeah, I spent the summer photographing and doing some interviews. And what I'm doing now is continuing those interviews now during the wintry months. But the project Where We No Longer Gather is really centered around and using the Liberty Memorial as a backdrop to the history to the queer community that used to be located there. Mm-hmm. Much has changed in the city through city ordinances. The AIDS crisis really intervened in that community building. Fear mongering and all those kind of things took part in its ultimate destruction. Really, it's really about looking at those histories, but also looking at public queer spaces and what that really means today. Do we need spaces like that? Are bars enough? And then shortly after that, you know, thinking about what happened this past summer with the Pulse Orlando event, how these spaces are still continuously under attack today. today and coming into our 2017 year, into this, you know, new presidency that we're in, that these spaces are still looked at and still marginalized and still pitted against. And ultimately, you know, they don't want them around. So I think that history, which was very little in regards to imagery as a photographer, I found very little imagery, mostly police reports and so, interviews and so forth. And I know there's imagery out there. Nobody was obviously Instagramming at the time. But however, it was that lack of imagery and that lack of record I thought was really significant. And I wanted to talk about that and combine that with these narratives today and who we are, what this community looks like now, what public queer spaces are, what do they serve, and how do they impact the people that that are part of those spaces.
And we definitely will have you back to talk more about that, because I think it's such an important conversation to have, and an awareness for our community to learn.
And just a real quick plug on that. I mean, if people are interested and wanting to talk about it, they can definitely visit my website. It's anthonymarcosreya.com. It's AnthonyMarcosreA.
Beautiful.
They can check that out, find me there, and we can connect that way. I'm really looking for those stories, looking for more of them.
Yeah.
I'm not being a historical, you know, documentarian by any means. Histories change and they evolve over time. I'm looking for what people can share with me now.
I love that.
What people have. Imagery would be awesome, you know? But nonetheless, those stories are more important, and we can create those imagery, that imagery later.
Beautiful, beautiful. Any last words about the holiday print and art market without a call to action?
I know, right? My issue. No, my struggles. No, but nonetheless, please come out. It should be really amazing. There'll be some really amazing prints. The work there is phenomenal. The artists that are already in the gift shop have amazing pieces, and I think it's something that should really be looked at and should be a spot on people's little hit list this weekend to swing by. We'll keep you warm with some hot coffee and full with some carbs. Mexican
I love
carbs,
that.
You know?
Yeah. And it is family friendly, so you can bring your
bring
kiddo,
your kids,
and I've even seen a dog or two there.
They wander at cats.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Thank you so much, my friend Anthony Rea. Saturday, December 17th, noon to 6 o'clock, Maddie Rose Art Gallery, 919 West 17th. And the number is 816-221-2356. You can also contact
2249.
Them. 2249. Oh.
That's okay.
Okay. I'll make a change on that. And then it's the website.
Yes. Or email artsinfo@maddierose.org.
Very good. So, Thank you so much. And please come back and feel better soon.
I hope so.
Because no one wants your stinking germs.
No, especially this weekend, right? All right.
All right. Love you, honey. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Thanks for staying tuned with us on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is ArtSpeak Radio you're listening to, and we're happy to have you listening to us online or in your car or at home, wherever. Even your phone, I suppose. So I want to introduce our next guest, David Steele of Steele's Used Books. And from the description on the website, I'm going to read this. The distinct aroma of vintage books lures you in, reminding you of lazy summers spent trailing fingers along shelves and shelves of books from the libraries of your youth. It calls you to board the magic paper carpet for journeys to places and ideas beyond your day-to-day routines, or to close yourself in those worded castles of depth and weight and challenge, sitting at the feet of those who've traveled before and beyond you. Come inside and prepare to linger. I love that, David Steele.
Yeah, that's pretty eloquent.
Now, did you write that?
I don't remember writing that.
Oopsies.
It's been a while.
So I just found out from our friend, our mutual friend, David Arnold Hughes, about Steele's bookstore. And tell us where you're located and give us a little bit of history for those who are just now discovering your bookstore.
Well, we're in North Kansas City. 18th and Swift. It's basically just north town, south of Armour Road and east of Burlington. We've been in this location for about 16 years. Mm-hmm. Been in Kansas City for 25 years. We moved from Independence Avenue after an arson fire in 1999. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This building's a lot better, a lot more character. It's pretty nice. So we've been, our specialty has been for decades, theology and religion. That's another story. We traditionally did, after the fire, we went to a mail order situation, and we went almost exclusively with that because we were doing a tremendous amount of mail order at the time. Mm-hmm. That's kind of slowed down with the 2008 finance stuff and everything. And we found that, I found personally that with so many bookstores closing, I mean, we've lost 15 bookstores in 12 years in Kansas City.
Crazy.
And with that happening, the I'm finding more and more need for community ventures and getting people into the open shop environment. So as my mail order was diminishing, the open shop has been picking up, which is my preference, absolutely. And we're also changing more with the presence still of the online servers, the low end stuff we're not necessarily keeping. I'm opening up more into the philosophy and history and art. Somebody asked about science a minute ago. Lots of different categories. We've got 70,000 volumes.
Wow.
Focusing on spirituality and New Age. I've got lots of cookbooks. Yeah. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Well, and when I met you the other day, I was in your bookstore, and you have a new addition to that, which would be the stage. I won't say really recent, but... It's an addition to the store, right?
This building used to be a pool hall. And so I've got a bar that's 46 feet long, which is my office or dais, as it were. And the building is 3,600 feet, so it's got plenty of space. So about 10 months ago, we put in a stage, a substantial stage. And we've got poetry readings 3 nights a month. And we've got my house band, the Time Travelers, Donnie Connect and Mo Shinola. They play first Saturdays, which is in the early evening, 5 to 7. We've got some ukulele people coming in on second Saturdays to play. That's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Third and fourth Saturdays, we're just looking for open mic jams. I'm trying to keep it more organic, acoustic oriented.
Sure.
You know, folk and bluegrass, that kind of thing. I don't mind, you know, amps, but I'm not looking for a rock show.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, is this something different from their original location? Did you have a performance sort of stage for people to read and perform?
I hadn't done that before because I didn't have the space really. On the Avenue, it was just packed to the gills, and I didn't have any space or really time to mess with it. But with the focus going more and more towards community again, which I really am trying to reach out for, it just seemed like a natural progression. And with the music, it's awesome. The poetry, first and third Sundays, and then fourth Thursdays are becoming more, as the weather gets colder, they're going to pick up more too. But we've had a really good turnout for those. My friend J.C. Sparks and Kai Zen host the first Sundays from 6 to 8 and fourth Thursdays from 7 to 9. And then Sharon Eicher from The Writer's Place hosts the third Sundays from 6 to 8.
Beautiful.
It's pretty entertaining. And we've had anywhere from 12 to 20 people show up, and that's just during the summer and when the weather's been nice. So
that's terrific.
Yeah.
If you just tuned in, I am talking to David Steele of Steele's Used Books at 214 East 18th Avenue, and that's in North Kansas City. And really, North Kansas City just feels like an other little small town community because everything is pretty much pedestrian: theaters, restaurants, bars, and of course, bookstores. And it just feels very, very quaint, and everyone kind of knows one another. So how long have you been at this location?
I've been here for 16 years, and it is very much, it's been referred to as sort of Mayberry-like.
Yeah.
We have now in Northtown, there are four microbreweries, three of them within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty nice. And,
yeah.
You know, there's growlers to be had from those places if you want to come and visit me.
And then that goofy place on the corner that I mentioned yesterday. And
chicken pickle thing. Yeah. There, it's an interesting concept, that.
Because when you think of chicken, you think of pickles.
Yeah,
go figure.
It's a game of some sort. I'd never heard of it till several weeks ago.
But I think North Kansas City is sort of becoming a destination. So that's good for your business, right?
It is, definitely. And traditionally, the shop has been a destination for people traveling across the country as well. So I do mail order, domestically and globally still. And so it is definitely, but with all these the new activity going in, it's becoming a lot more busy, I guess. I don't know the word for it.
Well, and did you find in your years as a bookseller that perhaps, again, becoming more community oriented, did you feel sort of a maybe a little push to be more performance based / stage / here's where poets can try out their work and that sort of thing? I mean, did you find that there's sort of a trend, and maybe that would help bring in more people or a different interest of people in the store?
When we opened in Iowa in 73, and so we have always, as the shop, brought in or sponsored festivals in Iowa. We haven't done that in Kansas City, but I've always been interested in music and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't have the venue or the time to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this building is really perfect. I've been wanting to put this stage in for 16 years.
Yeah.
Prompting that was I had met a couple of guys, and they wanted to someplace that wasn't in their wives' living rooms to practice and play. So I opened up some space, and they started, and then we got a couple other people they introduced and met, and so we put the stage on. As far as the poetry part, I've always wanted to do that. I have to admit that seeing Will over at Prospero's and his success, that prompted me to try and do something in the North Kansas City area.
Yeah.
J.C. Sparks had approached me several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for a new venue as well for Northland, and he had no idea that any of this was there, and he walks in, and as it turns out, I just built the stage. So, yes, that'd be awesome.
That's great timing.
Yeah, the PA is always set up, and so anybody that wants to come in, sometimes folks will come in during the middle of the week and just strum on a guitar or we've got some house instruments, banjo, fiddle, a mandolin and a fiddle, and some stuff that's just available,
Well, and again, I think it in a sense follows the trend of what's happening in libraries, that it's not just, you're not just there to check out a book and go home. There's so many different activities and events that around a lot of the public libraries here in town, that it's not just about checking out your book again anymore. But
that's
pretty exciting.
True.
Now, if folks are interested in finding more out, out about Steele's Books and performances, or if they want to perhaps perform there, how do they get a hold of you?
Especially locally, I actually use Facebook more than my website.
Okay.
It's just that Steele's Used Books, it's just more, it's easier for me to just deal with it.
Sure.
I do have a website set up, steelsbooks.com, that has 20,000 volumes on a database that are still there. I'm not doing much with that anymore, but they're still there.
Uh-huh.
So basically, Facebook is the best way, Steele's Used Books. The phone number, 816-300-2665, which is actually 300-BOOK. It's easy to remember. And the email is info@steelsbooks.com. I tend to get to my emails.
I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, and do you have any upcoming events that you want to talk about, or?
Again, the first and third Sundays, poetry.
Okay.
We always do that. The band Time Travelers, Donnie Connect and Joe Shinola, will be playing on the 7th. And they usually do first Saturdays, but New Year's Eve they're going to forego that. So so they'll be there, and that's good fun. They've got two or three full sets that they play.
And what are your hours at Steels?
I'm there 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
Other times appointment or chance.
Yeah.
Chances are after 6 rather than before 10.
Yeah. And you're closed on Sundays?
I don't keep Sunday hours.
Okay.
I don't want to work 7 days a week.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So...
Very good. Any last words? Do you you're going to have a special sort of blue light last minute holiday?
I think we should do that. At least anybody who's heard this or hears about it somehow, mention it and get a 30% discount.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, 30%. That's fine. Just mention the radio station or tell your friends. I mean, anybody that heard about it, you might as well tell them.
And do put that on Facebook. That would be great.
I need to do that, yeah. I definitely do.
Oh, David, it's been just a pleasure meeting you and having you on. And please come back and maybe we'll have some of your musicians on, your poets, maybe pick a couple of books. And
That could be pretty fun. Yeah,
very
pretty
good.
Entertaining.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. And
all right.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host every Wednesday noon to 1 o'clock on 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we're going to talk to people. We're going to talk to the Interurban Art House of folks, executive director and founder, artist Nicole Emanuel, and Angie Hyduk, the chief operating officer. And then we're also going to be talking to Joy Baker, the resident studio artist and educator. And they're here in the studio live. I want to tell you a little bit about the Interurban Art House, and they will speak more about it. This was founded and developed by local community artist Nicole Emanuel, and that was in 2011 as a series of conversations with artists, art organizations, and civic and business leaders. It was clear that there was a void in art resources and studio facilities for Northeast Kansas. So we're going to welcome Angie Hyduk and Nicole Emanuel. And let me get that mic up. Joy Baker, welcome to ArtSpeak Radio.
Hi, dear.
Oh, and look at you. Now you're all shy. Well, you know, it's been a while, Nicole, since I've had you on the show, but we're glad to have you back as always. And
Thank you.
So much going on with Interurban Art House, right?
Yeah.
And first of all, I want to say congratulations to your new building.
Yay.
Let's talk about that.
Long time coming on that one. Well, in the beginning, we were seeded by an NEA grant in 2012, and that foresaw our having a facility. We wanted to have a building from the beginning, and the idea is to have a place that we could protect affordability, to build it out to code, as we see with the Oakland fires, how critically important that is. And to make it a nonprofit so that the affordability would be stabilized over time. So it took 5 years to negotiate the purchase of a property and to raise the funds. So we closed on November 1st, which was a huge accomplishment.
That's beautiful. Because where were you before? You were in downtown?
Originally, all the artists were scattered about. I call us the diaspora. So we were all scattered about and seeking a place where we could get together, do our own personal work, and improve our business practices. Then Interurban landed on Floyd Street right behind the Rio Theater, and we had a one-room storefront, and we grew out of that so quickly, programmatically. The demand for programs was so high, we went to the public libraries, cafes. Then we were offered a reasonable price for a 5,000-square-foot basement, which is where we've been for 3 years, and we are currently, and have another year on that lease. And that's where Joy Baker, who's with us here today, is a resident artist and a teacher. We have 10 studios with 13 artists, and we run most of our programs there, not the ones, certain ones are off-site.
And, of course, when you started this in 2011, right?
Yes.
much smaller staff, but the vision was still there, right?
The vision, yeah. So creative placemaking envisions very broadly. The concept is that government sector, business sector, arts sector, residents are all interacting to solve a place-based problem through creative transformation. Mm-hmm. So the idea was always to take a place and use cultural programming and presence to solve a problem.
Well, you know, again, congratulations. I love that your mission is to enrich the cultural and economic vibrancy of the community by creating a place where artists and creative industries can work and prosper in an affordable, sustainable, and inclusive environment. That's very, very important. I mean, you as a working artist,
right?
You know, I'm sure came out of sort of that desire yourself, just
right.
having that place and the support and all in the community.
Well, this. Where we are here at KKFI, this is my old neighborhood. I lived about 3 blocks from here and originally had a studio in the Crossroads. So because of the public school dilemma at the time and having 2 young kids, we surprised ourselves by moving into Kansas. And it was then that the community of art studios was harsh. And the diversity and the changing cultural climate was obvious, but there wasn't really a hub where we could gather. So,
yeah, and especially, you know, on the Kansas side, I love that you're on the Kansas side. You've got the Nerman Museum at the Johnson County Community College. Mm-hmm. You've got that historic downtown Overland Park, and this is an old post office that you're going to be in. What is that location?
It's at the corner of 80th and Concert. Concert is about 1 block west from Santa Fe. So if you know the famous Farmers Market and Clock Tower in the little historic downtown, we're block west from there.
Mm-hmm.
We're a block from the old station that the inner urban train used to go to and a block south from what used to be the inner urban engineer's house. And there was something else that you said that, it sounds like a change of subject, but it's germane. And that is Johnson County, in particular Northeast Johnson County, is experiencing a renaissance of change. And the good and the bad of the urban demographics are with us, and that's an undeniable fact.
Mm-hmm.
The acceleration of poverty and the depth of diversity, all the challenges, the richness, and the problems are in our laps in this area. The schools that we program in are between 25% and 86% under the poverty line, and there's a 10% homeless rate. And so I want to point out that Kansas's rap, or Johnson County's rep, as a very upper class, predominantly white.
Yeah.
That has truth in certain aspects, but the place where we're doing the most of our work and our most of our intention is in leveraging creative folks to work with the community as it is and to celebrate that and deal with challenges directly.
Beautiful. And as you were talking, Angie Hajduk was nodding her head, yes, yes. So what are your thoughts? What do you want to say about that?
Her statements are very true. We see the neighborhood changing rather quickly. We have, 4 housing developments underway in downtown Overland Park right now, and a 5th that was just announced. Mm-hmm. So without protecting this area and creating some affordable area for the arts, we are... we will be priced out of the downtown Overland Park area soon. So us owning this building is critical to the success and the placemaking of the arts in that Northeast Johnson County area.
Yeah. And Joy Baker, who is, again, the resident studio artist educator. I haven't seen you in a while. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Joy. You need to come up a little bit more. Yeah, there you go. So... But what is your role as artist and educator in this beautiful inner urban art house organization?
Well, I was called to the inner urban art house. I was looking for studio space, and as Nicole mentioned, those opportunities were hard to find in Johnson County. And Overland Park's my home, and that's where I wanted to stay close to conduct my business and my painting. And I came into Interurban Art House and met Nicole and Anastasia, who's also an artist there, Anastasia Drake. And I just felt completely at home, so I took a studio there. And my intention was to run my business, Createful Studios, and paint. And as I've been there for, it's been a year in December, yeah, it's here now, opportunities have come to me, and the my business plan has changed a little bit from selling art to teaching art. And the art house has afforded me some really amazing opportunities to work in the community, going out to schools and teaching kids. I've had the amazing experience of being able to teach 80 second graders in an afternoon how to make mandalas from recycled materials. So that was an opportunity that was brought to me by Nicole and Angie, and it's amazing.
I love that.
Yeah, I
love that. Well, and I want to mention that that the Interurban Art House's programs that you have that people may not be aware of or may want to know more about, programs have been developed to serve needs identified through the research and community outreach. And so you have five innovative programs through community art and civic partnership partnerships. So you've got Art Matters, and Artworks, Arts Connect, Art Smart, and Art Heals. So let's talk about some of those programs, would you?
Sure. So the survey you're referring to, about 300 artists in our area, gave us a sense of what they needed. So Artworks is teaching studio artists how to do their small business practices. We have lawyers and accountants.
That is so important. Gosh.
We partner with folks in the downtown area that do that very successfully. The idea is the economic impact that we can have on individual artists. Art Matters is one of the programs where Joy is involved. That's teaching art forms, and it depends on the group. So obviously visual artists is one group, but there's also been dance workshops and music opportunities. So anything studio-based, artist-to-artist, that's Art Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Art Heals is also where Joy has worked, and that's working with special communities that have challenges. So Joy has worked with, what's the name of the arthritis group?
Oh, Art for Arthritis, just for the arts. Arthritis Foundation.
And Johnson County Developmental Supports Arts Emerging Artists Program, so we've done a number of things with them. Anything that has to do with using art as a healing protocol, so we have three licensed art therapists on site that run their own private practices and have are developing programs for folks at risk. Then the Arts Connect is anything that has to do with connecting with the community at large. That's both in our immediate area doing big performance events, and it's also on a regional basis. We're involved with like the Arts Based Projects core group that's coming in to talk about affordable artist housing, so regional visioning aspects. And then Art Smart is the oldest program. It's in its 10th year or 9th or 10th year, and it predates the actual formation of the organization, and that's where we hire local artists from diverse ethnic backgrounds to go into the schools with the highest risk, the kids with the highest levels of poverty, teaching them art forms. And the funding comes from an unusual place. It's the Kansas Department of Health and Environment Green Schools Grant. So we teach environmental stewardship, which is very empowering to the kids, through the arts, through sculpture, dance, music, poetry, visual arts, teaching the kids things about, it's actually landfill diversion, very sexy. Not that that matters at the grade level, but so the idea is that we teach through the art form how the kids can impact their environment and feel empowered.
That's terrific. If you just tuned in to us, to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Nicole Emanuel, artist, founder, and executive director of Interurban Art House. Also, Angie Hyduke, the chief operating officer, and Joy Baker, resident studio artist and educator. You know, I have to ask you, what are there boundaries, are there limitations to who you serve in terms of geography?
The answer is no. There are two people on staff.
Good answer.
So There's two people on staff, and so it's the limit of our capacity. However, I want to say a couple things about that. One is, with UMKC and the Kauffman Foundation, we did a big survey, and we reach people as far away as Lawrence in the north and in the east. So we are one of many regional resources. We're having a visiting artist come from Switzerland. She has family here. She's going to be doing something. We sent an envoy. We partnered with somebody who went to Cuba who's trying to make some inroads into how we might do intercambio with artists in Cuba. So, you know, the imagination is our limit. And, yeah. You know, obviously resources will have some impact, but we like to ignore that.
Well, and I love that you dream big, but you've also developed relationships or partnerships, I should say, within the community, right?
Yeah. So obviously, the school district is the oldest,
right,
and the city.
Right.
So the city of Overland Park, I have to say, if ever there was a city with a progressive backbone for the arts, they've really put out a lot of risk and a lot of advocacy for this project. They gave us a grant towards assisting us in the purchase of the property, many other things like that. Now I totally forgot the question.
No, that's fine. You know, the partnerships,
Yeah. Okay, so we've ArtsKC, every year they assist us with operating grants through our Catalyst grant. We do arts funding workshops with them. Artists Inc. has done a hybrid on-site artist the workshop program, teaching artists in entrepreneurial training. The Art Institute.
Gilded.
Oh, yeah, Gilded. We've done both on-site Gilded and off-site Gilded. The Art Institute has come out and worked with our high school students in teaching them how to approach their portfolio and prepare for college. I can't even begin to name the partnerships. Johnson County Developmental Supports, the Johnson County Arts Council, the merchants, organizations in downtown.
And how important is this because of sort of what was happening on the Kansas side in terms of education and cuts and that sort of thing? How important was it to the community to have this organization? Angie?
Well, I think it's really important that we're embedded in the in the community. We're working closely with the school districts right now to offer cultural arts programming. They have spoken to us about being able to roll the environmental arts programming out to all of the schools so there's consistency versus us seeking the funding and only reaching the schools that we see the highest need, and they want to offer a high level of consistency across the entire district. So we're able to offer support and services that are outside of the teaching that's going on, but also aligning with the curriculum.
Very important.
If people don't know what's been happening in Kansas, in the past 5 years, we've been federally defunded twice. The second round is coming. In other words, the state did not allocate enough funds to match the National Endowment for the Arts, and so we lose that funding. So there's a lot of arts advocacy that's necessary. There's a lot of arts organizations that are hurting. I think our small business vision has kept us floating funding-wise through the Department of Commerce at the state level. I thought of a couple other partners I wanted to mention. One is the Overland Park. The Arts and Rec Foundation of Overland Park was our nonprofit umbrella when we got our first NEA grant. And the Friends of Art, which is the arts group, subgroup of that organization, not only provides funding for our after-school hip-hop dance program at Comanche, but also provides some operating funding and a lot of excellent partnership. So thank you to them.
Yeah, and at this time, I should mention your website or contact information, interurbanarthouse.org is your website. And any other information, Facebook, social media, anything else that people can contact or get to know you a little better?
Yeah, Facebook is a great way to stay in touch with us. We do the majority of our communication of what's happening, when it's happening, on Interurban Art House on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have our class schedule posted on our website. We try to program 3 months out at a time. There are weekly programs from networking opportunities to entrepreneur programs to classes that we're teaching, in drawing classes and critiques. So our website will keep you up to date with our classes.
That's beautiful. And I know as you're both working artists, Joy and Nicole,
yep.
I don't know, no, how do you balance all of that, what's happening and your mission, and save a little bit of creative stuff for yourself, Joy?
It's a challenge.
Yeah,
for sure. I got a really great piece of advice from my grandmother who told me that I should always have a project just for myself, a creative project.
Yeah.
So I tried to do that as well. And I have been spending a lot of time out in the community and doing classes, and I've even got some invitations from St. Louis and Manhattan.
Beautiful.
To come teach. And those are all really exciting opportunities, and I just make time.
Terrific. And I want to mention that the Interurban Art House, located at 8001 Conser Street, Overland Park, Kansas, the new property. It's the old post office, but it's a new property to Interurban Art House.
Well, yeah. We're aiming at the beginning of March for our first big event, so uh-huh. Look out for that.
And before that, prior to the big event, what do you have going on currently or upcoming? Do you have any new class that's going to start or any sort of thing, any sort of function that our listeners should know about?
Sure. We have two web and marketing classes that are taught by Kim Beers every month that help artists with those types of skills they need for their businesses to succeed. We have an upcoming Lacey Lewis drawing class that will start at the end of January.
She's amazing.
We're beginning to register for. We have networking events that happen every month where we bring people in the creative community together to talk about what's important to them. We have the third Friday of every month. It's called Local Life in downtown mm-hmm. Overland Park, where local merchants stay open late that Friday evening, have music, small bites, drinks. We open our studio doors, encourage our studio artists to have their doors open as well and be available to the community to welcome them in and tell them more about what we do.
And again, give us the address.
We are at 8001 Conser Street. Right now, we are in the lower level of the building across from the post office facility we just purchased. Accessibility is an issue with the stairs, which mm-hmm. we apologize for. So mm-hmm. we are rapidly working towards having our new building at 8010 Conser ready that will welcome people with no stairs.
Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, Nicole, I mean, have...
Don't talk about my wildest dreams if you want to go there.
This is G-rated. Wait a minute. No, I mean, did you ever think, wow, how big this could get and how many people you could serve and you know, really have an impact on the community? Did that ever kind of cross your mind that it would have this impact?
I've seen it done before. I've never led it before. Yeah. I was always a part of teams. And I think the most transformative personal experiences I've had as a muralist in California were always community grassroots-based. So transforming entire alleyways into mural environments or transforming gigantic warehouses into artist communities where it was safe to live and work. So I've seen it, and I've been part of it. And so... you know, the lack of the, I don't know how to describe it, it's boundary issue.
Okay.
I have big boundaries, you know, and I have great vision and a sense of responsibility.
Well, and I think we're all grateful for that vision and your responsibility.
Yeah.
And your wildest dreams.
Thank you. Yeah, and I, you know, there's a lot, you talked about balancing the creative. Yeah. So I think that being surrounded by artists on a daily basis reminds me of what's possible. And, you know, the ongoing improvisational performance art that our relationships are what keep me going. So,
beautiful.
You know, the laughter and the amazing people around.
Thank you so much, Nicole Emanuel, Joy Baker, Angie Hyduk. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon and talking to us. And you'll be back. I know you will.
Yeah, we will.
Very
Thanks
good.
For having us.
You bet. You bet. And that concludes this episode of ArtSpeak Radio. Thanks to Anthony Rea, David Steele, Nicole Emanuel, Joy Baker, Angie Hajduk. Next week, December 21st, is next Wednesday. And stay tuned for that. I'll have more announcements with our guests. And also, stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. And I want to thank you all for listening, for tuning in and making us a priority. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, because we like you. Podcasts generally are posted on Friday on www.kkfi.org. For Arts Beak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and honey, I'm coming home.